the words of my mouth, meditation of my heart, be acceptable in your sight, Lord, my strength and my redeemer. I know that our youth have been hearing the Song of Solomon for a while, from Roxanne. And this is Song of Solomon, chapter 8. I'm going to read a little section in general. Now, the language of the Song of Solomon is poetic and pretty vivid, but it talks about breath in the Song of Solomon. It's talking about maturity, that you're able to come to place spiritually, you're able to nurture others also. The Song of Solomon, chapter 8, toward the conclusion of this book, this is what the Shulamite says, the one who's been going hard after experiential union with Christ. We have a little sister, she has no rest. What shall we do for our sister on the day when she's spoken for? We have called her forth to manifest her life of surrender and to do battle on behalf of the kingdom. Since if she's a wall, we shall build on her a battlement of silver. But if she is a door, we shall barricade her the planks of cedar. Now, if she's a wall, this young one, or a young, at least immature one, or this one, if she's a wall, in other words, if there's a solid separation, there's a place of solid division between the world, the flesh, and their walk with the Lord. We'll put on battlements of silver. She's ready to go forth. Well, she's ready to do battle on behalf of the kingdom. She's ready to go forth and make a difference. But if she's a door, there's still this open door. There's still an open door in the places of life, the places of still disobedience and rebellion. Then we're going to put planks of silver, it says. Big planks of cedar. We'll barricade the door, which means that you shut it so that there isn't this place of going in and out of where the enemy has access. We'll barricade her with planks of cedar. We've talked about this before. Well, maybe this is what we, maybe we do the other one more, I guess. The Spirit blows where he wants. There's a place in Song of Solomon chapter. This is really a word for all of us, but for the young people too. God just done a pretty cool thing for them as they went and encountered the ramp. Now they have to steward this and walk this out together. So this is not the first conference they've been to. This is the first conference they've been to when they were already at the level they were at. So you're like, it's a different place they're at. But there's a place of holding each other accountable too, how to minister and speak in each other's lives. And as you learn and grow in the Lord too. This is in Song of Solomon chapter 6. Solomon is the type of Christ is boasting about this person is maturing. Who is this that grows like the dawn, as beautiful as the full moon, as pure as the sun, as awesome as an army of banners? I went down to the orchard of nut trees to see the blossoms of the valley, to see whether the vine had budded on the pomegranates had bloomed. Before I was aware, my soul sent me over the chariots of my kinsmen who are noble, or my people of nobility. This thing is important to understand about every Christian, is that every Christian carries nobility because of their union with Christ. That's they carry the divine nature of Jesus. And we all have flesh, right? But that flesh doesn't identify who we are at our heart level. That represents who we are in our outer man. Who we are in union with Christ. It says Christ is our life. And so every Christian carries a sense of nobility. And in the Song of Solomon in chapter 8, he said, we have a little sister that has no breast. There's some immaturity going on in her life. What shall we do to help her? Then the answer was, well, if she's a wall, if there's some settled separation from the power of sin and flesh, then we'll put battles of elements of silver, ready for warfare, ready to go for it. But if she's a door, and there seems to be access, the enemy has access, the flesh has access, what we'll do is just beat her up. What we'll do is just rub her nose at it. What we'll do is reinforce the shame the enemy's already putting on her. No. The word cedar, always in the Song of Solomon, represents the new creation. He says, what we'll do is we'll barricade that door by calling forth the new creation. It's not that you don't deal with stuff, that's accountability, right? You own stuff, but always with the goal of, I'm not going to let shame cling to you. I'm not going to let the enemy steal your identity. I'm not going to let the enemy tell you this and that and the other, because, see, the enemy's issues are always long-term. We as Christians, we think short-term stuff, but the enemy always plans long-term. And when a person blows it, his deal isn't that they just blew it. He wants shame and guilt to follow him for years or even the rest of their life. So they never feel like they can deserve to be what God's called them to be. Is there accountability? Yes. Is there owning stuff? Yes. Is there cleaning up mess? Sometimes, yes. You have to talk to. Sometimes you have to go to a brother and ask for forgiveness or whatever. There's part of that view. But in the end, there is this thing about nobility that I want to remind you of your nobility in Christ. I want to call forth the new creation. That's the real you. That wasn't the real you. You did that. That's not the real you. The real you is in Christ, in union with Christ, and in union with him. I want to honor your nobility and call forth the new creation and barricade. So that, as you see, the way you get nobility to act like nobility is to keep reminding them of their nobility, to teach them how to behave like nobility. You know, we've heard the stories before, but the way an eaglet learns how to be an eagle is because the mother eagle spends a lot of time teaching the little eagle that she's an eagle, or he's an eagle. The way you help people, God's about transformation. He's always about transformation. Amen?
Yeah.
And so, in the end, it's about calling forth the nobility that's yours in Christ so that you can walk out the reality of who you are. There's a place, this will be good. It's always a challenge to teach Song of Solomon because nobody knows what in the world I'm talking about the language for. This is not a romance novel, it's actually a Song of Solomon. After the thing about nobility, the believers that are watching the show of life, who's just pressing in, going after experiential union in Christ, you know, we have union, but experiencing it. And they say, come back, Shalabite, come back, and we may gaze at you. Why should you gaze at the Shalabite, at the dance of two companies, the dance of heaven and earth? That's what walking with the Lord is. Like a dance with heaven and earth. And then he says, how beautiful are your feet in sandals, O prince's daughter. You remember the story of Jesus washing feet, and they wore sandals. This area of the world gathers dirt very easily, and so if you dance in the dirt with sandals, your feet are going to get dirty. But what he says to her in the language is literally, how beautiful are your steps. Here's a good example of Christ calling forth nobility. It's not that we don't see dirt. Jesus even said, if you don't acknowledge it, you need to have your feet washed, and you have no part of it. But what he said was, he honored the fact that the Shulamite was going after the dance. And he was celebrating her steps. See, here's our deal. This is who we are. I have a tendency to focus on my dirt. Jesus is always focusing on our dance. And even when he shows me my dirt, then he reaffirms me the steps I have taken in the dance of her life. And let's dance again. barricades the wall and the door with planks of cedar. He honors the nobility that's in me as a Christian. To never, ever cause transformation through condemnation. Even if we have to point out the dirt and cleanse the dirt, we remind them that we've seen the